This is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It is Monday, the 8th day of April, 2024. And according to some, the last day of the world. We'll see. I highly doubt it. We'll talk about that a little bit later on Monday Meandering. All right, folks, this is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and anything else I want to talk about. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Mountain on X, Facebook, and Rumble. And then the audio podcast is available for download wherever you find fine podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian podcast community. You can head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You are certain to find something worth listening to. I guarantee it. How are you today? Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a great day at church yesterday. We did. Although I was fighting a killer headache all day long. I'm afraid I was not the most pleasant person for Mrs. Squirrel to be around yesterday. Because I was just like, leave me alone. My head hurts. I'm going to go take some Advil. And I put on a good face at church, but I got home and I was just miserable. Feeling much better today. Got a good night's sleep last night. I'm doing well today, but yesterday was kind of rough. So got home from church and I just kind of came in here to my office and hermited and was not the best of company. But sometimes you just have days like that. We had a good day at church. It was a good message. First Sunday of the month, so it's Communion Sunday at our church, and that was nice. Had a lot of people there at church yesterday. We had some visitors. It was just a good all-around day at church, but other than my raging headache, which I had from the time I got up until the time I went to bed last night, other than that, I feel, it was a good day, and now I feel much better, so we'll just go with that. All right, what do we got coming up today? We have scripture reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. We have prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. We have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ, Volume 1, and it's Monday, so it's Monday Meandering. We're going to talk about pretty much anything I want to talk about. All right, let us begin, as is our practice, with the Prayer of Confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins, and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now our prayer for the reading of the Word. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy Word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture readings today are Exodus 23 and Psalm 73. Exodus 23. You shall not bear a false report. Do not join your hand with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not follow the masses in doing evil, nor shall you testify in a case so as to turn aside after the masses in order to cause justice to be turned aside. Nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his case. If you meet an enemy's ox or his donkey wandering away, you shall surely return it to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying helpless under its load, you shall refrain from leaving it to him. You shall surely release it with him. You shall not cause the justice due to your needy brother to be turned aside in his case. Keep far from a false charge, and do not kill the innocent nor the righteous, for I will not justify the guilty. And you shall not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of justice. And you shall not oppress a sojourner, since you yourselves knew the soul of a sojourner, for you also were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Now, you shall sow your land for 6 years and gather in its produce. But on the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, so that the needy of your people may eat, and whatever they leave the beast of the field may eat. Thus you shall do with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days you are to do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your maidservant as well as your sojourner may refresh themselves. Now concerning everything which I have said to you, beware, and do not mention the name of other gods, nor let them be heard from your mouth. 3 times a year you shall celebrate a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread as I commanded you, at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt. And none shall appear before me empty-handed. Also, you shall keep the feast of the harvest of the firstfruits of your labors from what you sow in the field. Also, the feast of the ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in the fruit of your labors from the field. 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord Yahweh. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor is the fat of my feast to remain overnight until morning. You shall bring the choice first fruits of your ground into the house of Yahweh your God. You shall not boil a young goat in the milk of its mother. Behold, I am going to send an angel before you to keep you along the way and to bring you into the place where I have prepared. Keep watch of yourselves before him and listen to his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him, for he will not pardon your transgression, since my name is in him. But if you truly listen to his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will annihilate them. You shall not worship their gods. You shall not serve them. You shall not do according to their deeds, but you shall utterly pull them down and shatter their sacred pillars in pieces. But you shall serve Yahweh your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. There shall be no one miscarrying or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets ahead of you, so that they will drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. I will drive them out before you little by little, until you become fruitful and take the land as an inheritance. And I will set your boundary from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness to the river. For I will give the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you will drive them out from before you. You shall cut no covenant with them or with their gods. They shall not live in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. And now, Psalm 73, the 73rd Psalm, a Psalm of Asaph. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had almost slipped. For I was envious of the boastful, I saw the peace of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat. They are not in trouble as other men, and they are not stricken along with the rest of mankind. Therefore lofty pride is their necklace, the garment of violence covers them. Their eye bulges from fatness, and delusions of their heart overflow. They scoff and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They have set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue goes through the earth. Therefore his people return here to his place. The waters of fullness are drunk by them. They say, how does God know? And is there knowledge with the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease. They have increased in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence, for I have been stricken all day long and reproved every morning. If I had said, I will recount thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I gave thought to know this, it was trouble in my sight, until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them on slippery places and caused them to fall to destruction. How they become desolate in a moment. They are completely swept away by terrors, like a dream when one awakes. O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like an animal before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel you will lead me, and afterward take me in glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the rock of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed everyone who is unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have set Yahweh as my refuge, that I may recount all your works. This is the word of the Lord. And now our reading from Daily Readings from the Life of Christ, Volume 1. Today's devotional is entitled, The Apostles Marvel at Jesus' Power. The men were amazed and said, What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Matthew 8:27. There are no realities more overwhelming than a glimpse of God's glory or the sense of his presence. Such occurrences make it impossible not to be utterly dumbfounded before him. The disciples realized after God stilled the storm that he indeed was God standing in their boat with them. Peter displayed the same reaction of awe and terror when he briefly walked on water after his Lord did. A storm surged up and caused Peter to panic. When Jesus rescued the disciple and calmed the storm, all the disciples in the boat worshipped him, saying, You are certainly God's Son. Matthew 14:33, see also verses 28 through 32. That is simply the proper reaction any believer should have when getting a first-hand glimpse of the Lord's power in this world. God's servants in Scripture had far more astounding earthly encounters with his magnificence than we ever will, but their examples are instructive. Daniel, for example, after beholding the Almighty, remarked, No strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor. That's Daniel 10:8. See also Isaiah 6:1. When the risen Christ halted Paul, Saul of Tarsus, on his way to Damascus, he fell to the ground, Acts 9:4. Our daily dependence on God and sense of His presence should be no less important for us than for the prophets and apostles of old. Isaac Watts' lyrics capture this concept well. On thee each moment we depend, if thou withdraw we die. Oh, may we ne'er that God offend, who is forever nigh. Ask yourself, pause long enough to marvel at the glory of your ever-present God. Put your feelings of awe into words of worship. All right. Well, it is Monday. That means it's Monday Meandering, and today is Monday, the 8th day of April, and the day of the solar eclipse. Now, there's been a lot of stuff all over the world about the solar eclipse, and the usual suspects have trotted out their bizarre predictions of how this eclipse is some sort of supernatural sign from God regarding the end times or something. They say a lot of things, but little of them is held up. Just this morning, Gabe Hughes put out a What video, When We Understand the Text, that dealt with this whole matter. And I quickly texted Gabe and said, hey, can I show that on Squirrel Chatter? So I have here a video from Gabe Hughes, from What, that was brought out today. And, well, let's enjoy it together.
Hey, remember those four blood moons prophecies in the 2010s? John Hagee wrote a best-selling book. There was even a theatrical film. And what happened? Absolutely nothing. Did a single false prophet lose their job after that? And here we are again with another eclipse and more wannabe prophets saying Jesus is coming soon, even though the Bible already says that. Let's just put this to rest right here. Natural solar eclipses are never mentioned in the Bible. They are not prophetic signs of anything. And don't let the YouTube and TikTok prophets tell you otherwise, no matter how many millions of views they have. But Gabe, haven't you heard that the great solar eclipse of 2017 passed over seven cities named Salem, which is short for Jerusalem? So what? Jerusalem is in the Middle East, not the United States, and neither that eclipse nor this one are visible there, or by most people on the earth. But Gabe, haven't you heard that the great solar eclipse of 2024 is going to pass over seven cities named Nineveh? Not true. The total eclipse is going to pass over two cities named Nineveh, and it will be partially visible from another five. By the way, the eclipse will be at least partially visible everywhere in the U.S. But Gabe, haven't you heard that both eclipses cross over a town called Rapture, Indiana? No, it's an unincorporated town called Rapture, and the total eclipse was not seen there in 2017, but will be in 2024. And this has no prophetic significance. Again, solar eclipses are naturally occurring. An Ohio newspaper from 1970 reported the eclipse in 2024. We can calculate when they will happen. But Jesus said no one will know the hour or the day of his return. Enjoy an eclipse for the beauty that it is. For Psalm 19:5 says that the sun runs its course with joy, as God made the sun and the moon to run like clockwork. This is not a sign of the end. But you do still need to repent and turn to Christ, for judgment will come at an hour you do not expect, when we understand the text.
So thank you, Pastor Gabe, for that. It is funny how, and I said, it's the usual suspects, right? It's the normal Kara's crazies that pump this stuff out, just like the blood moon stuff 10 years ago. Now, the Bible does give signs of the end times that deal with the sun being darkened and the moon not giving its light. Also says the stars will fall from heaven and all sorts of other things like that. And so when we think about that, we need to understand this is not talking about natural eclipses. This is talking about unpredictable, supernatural phenomena, miraculous phenomena at the end times associated with judgment. It's not going to be unmistakable for anything else. And it is, I mean, this is, you know, Joel talks about it, and Peter quotes Joel about it in Acts 2. Jesus mentioned it in the Olivet Discourse. John mentions the sun not giving its light and the moon being darkened in Revelation. And these are all signs of the very end and signs of judgment. Not natural eclipses. You know, this is a supernatural act of God's judgment. And a lot of people, well, you know, you had the darkness during the crucifixion. Well, again, that was not a natural eclipse, okay? The darkness during the crucifixion lasted 3 hours. An eclipse lasts about 5 minutes at the very center of the totality. Also, Passover takes place at the full moon, and Jesus was crucified at Passover. You can't have a solar eclipse during a full moon. The moon's on the wrong side of the earth. It's on the side of the earth away from the sun. There's no way it can come between the sun and the earth. So, you know, the darkness that took place from noon to 3 p.m. while Jesus hung on the cross was not an eclipse. It lasted too long and the moon was in the wrong position. That was a supernatural event. So this is something to, you know, cannot be mistaken for a natural eclipse. And natural eclipses are every bit as normal as sunrise and sunset, or moonrise and moonset. They're easily predictable. And it's not a sign of anything other than the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. You know, it's the fact that creation works so regularly and like a clock, like a watch, that in itself is evidence of the glory and power of God. That's Romans 1, that his power and majesty are apparent to everyone because of what has been made. When we look at the marvels of the universe, we have no excuse for denying the existence of God. There's plenty of evidence that God exists, and a solar eclipse is simply another one of those evidences. And the fact that it is predictable shows that God is a God of order. So there are things, I mean, you know, okay, it's a sign. It's a sign that there is a creator God who is all-powerful. But it's not a sign of any specific impending judgment. Now, is judgment impending? Oh, absolutely. But I don't need a solar eclipse to tell me that. I just need to read the Bible and look at the wickedness in the world about me and compare it to the righteousness of God in the scripture. And then I can say judgment is coming, and I can be absolutely factual about that. There's not going to be any doubt when God's judgment falls. And when those scriptures are fulfilled that talk about the moon being darkened and the sun not giving its light, that won't be mistakable for a natural eclipse. It is not going to be anything like a natural eclipse. So just relax. Enjoy the eclipse if you're in the path of totality. It's kind of a neat thing. I've got friends who have stated their desire to drive down somewhere south of me so that they could observe the eclipse, and they will be doing that, and that's just awesome. I have, in my life, back in the late 70s, experienced one total eclipse. And it was, I was in school, and they would not let us go outside. So, Merrick, they moved us away from the window so that none of us could look at it and blind ourselves. We got to stand against the wall opposite the windows and watch the world outside get dark. Watch the streetlights come on. And then the world got bright again, and the eclipse was over, la-di-da. So I was not outside during the eclipse. Now, I was outside in 2017 when I believe it was like 85, 90% eclipse. And what amazed me was two things. First off, I was not looking at the sun. I didn't have any kind of apparatus for that. I was just looking at the world around me as the moon passed in front of the sun. And I noticed two things. One is 10% of the sun is still extremely bright. It didn't get all that dark. It got notably dimmer. It was a sunny day. It was not a cloudy day. It was a summer day. And I was standing outside of my mom's driveway, and we were in Missoula doing something with mom, taking her to lunch or something. I don't remember, but was stopping by her house. And we were outside in the driveway, and it got dim, you know, but it didn't get dark. 10% of sunlight is really bright. The other thing was, it got cold. I felt the temperature drop. So 90% of sunlight is still really, really bright, or 10% of sunlight is still really, really bright. But losing 90% of the sunlight has a definitely noticeable effect on temperature. That was the thing that impressed me the most, because I'm standing outside. It's summer. I'm wearing a T-shirt and, you know, no jacket. It was a nice summer day. And I don't even remember what time of year it was, but it was a warm day. And it got cold for the 5-6 minutes that the moon was passing in front of the sun. I felt the temperature drop, seriously. So, you know, noticeable. The sun is amazing, and it is a sign of God's creation. So, you know, if you're somewhere in the path of the eclipse, enjoy it. Be amazed by it. Whether you live there or you traveled there, just don't take it as any kind of weird thing, because it's not. And it's not a supernatural sign. So ignore all the Kara's crazies that are coming out with all these weird predictions, because they come out with these weird predictions all the time, and they're always wrong, and they keep their jobs. If you want to, you know, if you're not in the path of the eclipse, rather than watching one of these stupid charismatic eclipse videos, watch the cessationist documentary. You'll get a lot more out of it. It'll be a lot more useful to your walk with Christ than being in some sort of panic because of a easily predictable and readily understandable natural occurrence. All right. What else we got going on? Well, Taiwan. They just suffered an earthquake. It was a bad one. And we pray for people. Now, luckily, Taiwan is like Japan and like a lot of the Pacific Rim, considered, you know, earthquake prone, just like the Pacific coast of the United States. Seismically active areas in plate tectonic subduction zones. That's why from Northern California up into Southern Canada, you have all these volcanoes, right? Mount Rainier, Mount Hood, Mount Shasta, Mount St. Helens, which is no longer the spectacular cone it once was, but it's spectacular in other ways. I was just talking to some people this weekend about, I was up at the men's retreat at Camp Utmost for the weekend, and we got talking about Mount St. Helens, because I was talking to a man who had been living in Texas at the time. And so we were discussing that. And because I was in eighth grade, I've told the story. But volcanic eruptions and everything, all of that is because of the same earthquake, ring of fire, Pacific Ocean plate subduction zones that ring the Pacific Ocean, so that you have volcanoes and earthquakes all around the Pacific Ocean. You know, so Mount St. Helens and Krakatoa are on the same edge of the Pacific Ocean. Again, naturally explainable. Every earthquake, every volcanic eruption, everything like that is still the earth settling down from Noah's flood. Noah's flood was a catastrophic geophysical occurrence, and the earth is still in flux from that. So anytime there's an earthquake, it's still the earth settling down from that. The earth after the flood was completely different. Not the same locations, not the same anything. It had been entirely reshaped, which, you know, is just a phenomenal thing to think about. But, you know, the earthquake in Taiwan was a bad one, but because they are used to earthquakes and have a really, really strong building codes in regard to earthquake safety and everything, the loss of life was not nearly as high as it could have been. I remember an earthquake that hit Mexico City. I think I was in high school. It was a long time ago, but it just devastated Mexico City, and thousands were killed. You know, multiple buildings collapsed because they were not built to any kind of safety standard. Mexico is a very corrupt society, and a lot of people had paid bribes rather than, you know, build according to the building code. You know, you just pay off the inspector, you get your green stamp, and boom, the building's ready for occupation, even though they cut the corners and nothing was like it should have been to up to code for earthquake safety. Taiwan, no, they did a good job, and so the loss of life was minimal compared to what it could have been, and that was because of the safety standards. So we continue to pray for the people of Taiwan and pray for their physical recovery, but we also need to pray for Taiwan, the nation, because we are seeing increasingly, in the face of Western weakness, and it's not just the United States, it's the Western nations, we see repeatedly the People's Republic of China, the Communist Chinese, are pushing for Chinese reunification, quote unquote. They want to take back Taiwan. And they're ready to do it by military means. Now, Taiwan is in a weird position politically because it is not recognized as a separate nation. It's not recognized as its own nation. It's considered to be part of China by, you know, and has been for a long time, you know, since the beginning. It has been considered to be part of China. And it's not, you know, I mean, it's Chinese people, it's an island off the coast of China, but it is an independent country. It's just not recognized as such. And so there is this weird idea that you know, okay, it's part of China, but it's not part of China. It's politically independent, but it's not an independent country. And we have guarantees of, you know, we've guaranteed Taiwan. Of course, we guaranteed Ukraine, too. And then we let Russia, you know, the Obama administration let Russia take the Crimean Peninsula, and the Biden administration has let the war that is happening now take place. And it's Western weakness. You know, nobody picks a fight with Chuck Norris. Nobody picked a fight with Bruce Lee. You don't pick a fight with the guy you know is strong and tough and can hurt you. You know, bullies don't pick on the football lineman. Bullies pick on the scrawny little bookworm. You know, the bookish nerd. That's who bullies pick on. They don't pick on, you know, the karate black belt. And so the reason why we're seeing a rise in a global aggression from totalitarian states is because they are sensing weakness in the West, and that weakness is there. That weakness has been growing since really the 60s, if not the 50s, since World War II, really, has when, you know, Western civilization started losing its edge. And so because of that, we now have Communist China staring across the straits at Taiwan, and they are being increasingly aggressive with Taiwan, wanting to take back Taiwan. And it's going to come to a head. And it's not going to be pretty. And it doesn't help the fact that our own State Department has been making statements recently about how the Biden administration in the United States of America does not support Taiwanese independence. Back on the 5th of April, State Department officials made that statement publicly. Quite honestly, we ought to recognize Taiwan as an independent nation. And, you know, we shouldn't be playing this fence-sitting game. And if we think that, you know, letting the Chinese communists take Taiwan back wouldn't be all that bad, all we have to do is look at the recent history of Hong Kong. Yeah. When the British lease on Hong Kong ran out, and Great Britain withdrew from Hong Kong, and Hong Kong was returned to Communist China. The Hong Kong people didn't want that at all. And it has been nothing but a disaster for Hong Kong. They've lost their liberty. They've lost their political independence. They've lost a lot of their wealth, because the Chinese system is not, you know, the communist system is not nearly as conducive to capitalistic business, you know, free enterprise, free markets. You know, capitalism has done more to lift people out of poverty than anything else in the world. Capitalism has done more to lift people out of poverty than all of the social programs ever devised by the mind of man. But, you know, the communist Chinese took over Hong Kong when the lease went out, even though the Hong Kong people didn't want them there. Great Britain showed great weakness in not standing up for the people of Hong Kong. And China made promises they had no intention of keeping. And indeed, they have not kept those promises, as they have now lost their liberty and free speech and all of that in Hong Kong. as China has continually cracked down on any kind of dissent. Well, the loss of free speech is not only a problem in China, it's a problem in Scotland as well. We've had the story of the new Scotland's new hate speech law that makes it a crime to quote unquote misgender somebody. Now, the thing is, this should be a crime to call a girl a boy, but no, that's not the crime. That's not misgendering. The crime is refusing to call a boy who says he's a girl a girl. That's where the crime comes in. Refusing to call a boy or a girl who says she's a boy a boy. That's the crime. That's what they... Misgendering is actually what they are trying to make you do, not what they're trying to keep you from doing. And J.K. Rowling, who is a leftist and a feminist, the author of the Harry Potter books, billionaire, you know, I mean, she wrote an extraordinary series of books. They're fun books. I enjoyed reading them. I've enjoyed the movies. She's a gifted author, gifted storyteller. She's a leftist. She's not a conservative by any means. Yet she sees the problems with the transgender movement. She has been standing up for women against men who say they're women. And when this law went into effect, she challenged it directly. She went on Twitter and she quote unquote misgendered some high profile Scottish men who say they're women, and then challenged the Scottish government to arrest her. And she was courting a trial. She wanted this to go to court. She wanted to be the test case, and she has the money to do that. And so that was her take on things. Now, as of today, the Scottish courts have declined to arrest her or file charges or do anything. And I think it's they're reluctant to go after J.K. Rowling for the same reason that the city of Los Angeles, city county of Los Angeles, and the state of California backed off going after Grace Community Church. They don't want a lot of this to become public record. They don't want this wealthy billionaire to bring in, you know, biological and genetic experts who can come in and say, you know, a boy can't become a girl and a girl can't become a boy. They don't want her bringing in, you know, brain experts who can bring in CAT scan after CAT scan after CAT scan to show that the male and female brains are different. And amazingly, the guys who say they're girls trapped in guys' bodies, their brains are male. Shock. Yes, I know. It's hard to believe, but it's true. So we continue to watch this. I'm kind of cheering J.K. Rowling on, but the Scottish courts are not going to go after her. But by her actions, she has, for all intents and purposes, nullified this law. Because if they're not going after her, they're not going to be able to go after anybody, really. Now, they may try, but she has pledged her support for anyone who is brought under charges under this law. Now, I say that at the same time that I'm talking about this is the United Kingdom. I know people who have been jailed in the UK for simply reading what the Bible says about homosexuality, for simply demonstrating how Christianity and Islam are diametrically opposed. You can't stand up and say that on the sidewalk in Great Britain. I mean, they arrested a woman not too long ago for silently praying on the sidewalk in front of an abortion clinic. She didn't say anything. She just stood there with her head bowed. And that was a crime. She got arrested. So, you know, the United Kingdom is not a free country. And not, you know, Scotland is part of the United Kingdom and not a free country. And so here we see this, you know. Now, at the same time, there are limits on free speech. You know, the example is you can't yell fire in a crowded theater if there isn't a fire. You know, we have slander laws and libel laws that make it illegal for you to tell lies about somebody. And that's a good thing. I also have serious issues with what's just been happening in Dearborn, Michigan. Apparently they had a big anti-Israel rally, and you had huge crowds of Muslim, quote-unquote, Americans standing around yelling death to America and death to Israel. Now, can I be perfectly frank? If I had the authority, I assure you that if somebody yelled death to America in America, they aren't welcome here and they need to be deported. Because if we have somebody who openly espouses hatred for our nation, they cannot be trusted to keep the peace. They cannot be trusted to be law-abiding American citizens. They just can't. They hate the country where they live. You know, in which case, all right, let's send you to a country that shares your values and send them to Iran, send them to Iraq, send them to Saudi Arabia, send them to Afghanistan. Let them live there. Let them live among the people who hate America all the time. Let them not live among Americans. I have no problem, you know. So how can you say you're for free speech and then say you're against that? No, I'm not against their right to say it. I'm just saying that what you say could have consequences. Yeah, I'm not advocating shutting them up. I'm just advocating giving them what they want. You hate America, you don't have to live here. You know, thanks for playing. You don't even get a copy of the home game. Go away. So, and I don't think that's inconsistent at all. Although we were discussing, my pastor and I at the men's retreat this weekend, one of the things that, and there's a creation ministry here in Montana that is very good, and the director of it is a friend of mine, Kevin Horton. And I've enjoyed a lot of their stuff that they've done. They were responsible for bringing Answers in Genesis to the University of Montana, which worked out well for me because I got to have coffee with Ken Ham, which was kind of nice. But, you know, and so I appreciate the creation ministry very much. As anybody knows, I support Answers in Genesis. I support the Creation Research Institute. I'm very much a young earth creationist. And I believe God created the earth in 6 literal days and rested on the seventh, 6 to 10,000 years ago. And I have no problem believing that. I have no problem reconciling that with scientific evidence. I think the evidence supports it. I think, you know, the Grand Canyon, to name just one place, is plenty of evidence that there was a global flood. And we can talk about that some other time. So I very much in support of creation ministries. But they're doing a conference coming up in Missoula. And it's going to, the theme of the conference is reclaiming America. And so they're going to talk about, you know, creation and versus evolution. They're going to talk about problems with the public schools. And they're going to have an agenda for taking back America, reclaiming America. And I was sitting with my pastor and he looked over and he said, you know, I don't know that I want to reclaim this culture. He said, transform it? Yes. Reclaim it? No. You know, so, and I agree with him. You know, it's not our job to reclaim the culture. It is our job to proclaim the gospel and let the gospel do its work. And if enough people truly repent and believe after hearing the gospel, that will change the culture. But we don't change the culture through political activism. Now, I'm not saying don't be politically active. Don't get me wrong. It's just not the mission of the church to change the culture. It's the mission of the church to proclaim the gospel. If we proclaim the gospel and the Holy Spirit regenerates lost sinners and brings them to salvation and indwells them, and the church teaches them to observe all that Christ commanded, then those people who have been saved and redeemed, they will begin to change the culture. Not as the church, but as individual citizens of whatever society they are in. You know, so if they are Chinese, you get enough saved Chinese, they're going to transform China. You know, if they're Arabs, if you get enough saved Arabs, they're going to transform the Arab world. And this is the key. You know, if you want a Christian nation, don't get politically active. You know, don't become an activist. If you want a Christian nation, become an evangelist. And share the gospel with everyone you meet as often as you have the chance. That's the way to change the world. That's the way the Roman Empire was changed. It wasn't changed by political action. You didn't have a bunch of people carrying signs and yelling and screaming in front of Caesar's palace. You had people sharing the gospel. And yeah, it took, you know, 300 years after Christ, roughly, before Christianity became acceptable, you know, 313, when you had finally that Christianity was no longer outlawed in the Roman Empire. But it, you know, it took that long, but it was people sharing the gospel and people worshiping God together, and it did change things. That's the other thing, you know, it took us a long time to get like this. Now I've said often that it happened quickly, that America has deteriorated and the Western society has deteriorated very quickly. And I think we've all seen a precipitous nosedive really since the Obergefell decision. But we were on this trajectory for decades before that. You know, for decades before that, we've seen moral rot creeping into Western society, becoming more and more acceptable. I think back to some of the stuff going on during the Roaring Twenties. I think back during the Prohibition and the Great Depression. You know, one of the best ways to teach a people to disobey the law is to pass a law you know they're not going to obey. And they did that with Prohibition. So that, you know, since Prohibition, there's been a very strong tendency among American people to thumb their nose at the law. If there's a law I don't like, I'm just not going to keep it. And so you have, that's led to decline. You know, sin is lawlessness. And not having a high view of law and order is indicative of a lost and dying world. And so, you know, and it's weird that the people who are lawless are also totalitarian. Have you noticed that? They want to control people so people can't be righteous and proclaim the righteousness of God. You know, look at this law in Scotland. They're not trying to keep people from saying bad things. They're trying to keep people from saying good things. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, as the prophet Isaiah wrote. Pray for our society, but we didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight. I'm not sure we're going to get out of it before the Lord returns at all. And while I don't think this eclipse is, it's the sign of the rapture, I don't think so. But at the same time, we're closer now to the return of Christ than we've ever been. And I think it's quite clear, looking at the state of our society, that our society is doomed. Western civilization is doomed. Whether that demise is coincidental with the return of Christ or not. You know, the fall of the Roman Empire was not the sign. The fall of Western civilization may not be the sign. Although I believe we're close to the end. And I just base that on, you know, looking around and reading what the Bible says and looking around at the condition of the world. And no, I'm not espousing newspaper exegesis. But, you know, look at the signs of the times. We're certainly under God's judgment. How close we are to the final judgment, I don't know. But like I said, we're closer than we were yesterday. And I don't imagine the Lord will tarry much longer. All right, folks, that's our Monday meandering for today. Let us now recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now did not update to today's collect. Let me find that real quick. Stand by one, my Book of Common Prayer right here. Let me pull and find the collect generally where I am. So yesterday was April 7th. Here we go. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now the Collect for the Renewal of Life. O God, the King Eternal, whose light divides the day from the night and turns the shadow of death into the morning, drive far from us all wrong desires. Incline our hearts to keep your law, and guide our feet into the way of peace, that having done your will with cheerfulness during the day, We may, when night comes, rejoice to give you thanks. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now for the unrepentant we pray. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son, you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for this Monday, the 8th of April. Enjoy the eclipse if you're near it, but don't panic over it. And just a quick reminder that I will not be here Thursday and Friday. I've got a little bit of traveling I got to do this weekend, so I will not be here Thursday and Friday, but we will have our study Bible level Bible study tomorrow and Wednesday. Then we're off until the following Monday. Just wanted to let you know. Keep you in the loop. All right, folks. Have a great day. Do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.